CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with Sia Bailey. Live on Cliff Central.
Oi, oi, Mzansi. It's Siyabonga Beyile here on the Threaded Exchange. It feels good to be back. As we all know, there's been public holidays, a lot of things happening, and we haven't been live in 2 weeks. So I'm very excited to be back. And of course, on today's show, we've got Frank Casino, young South African rapper who's doing incredible things. This is the Threaded Exchange. It's all about being progressive, cultured, and brave. We showcase South Africans from all different types of industries who are doing incredible things and giving them a platform. Also, what is exciting about our show in the next coming weeks, we're going to allow some of you guys who follow the show to come on and co-host with me. I know I might get into trouble with Gareth Cliff because I didn't run this past the team, but I thought, let me go on a limb and actually do it. So this show is about giving opportunity to young people and for young people to express themselves and to learn from each other and to inspire each other. So I think it's very important to not just keep the show by bringing in, you know, famous people or incredible South Africans in different industries, but also bring you at home who dreams to be on radio or you have something to say and you want to be heard. So look out for that on our social media. Please do not shy away. WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. You can interact with us on Twitter as well at cliffcentral.com. That is our Twitter account. And as I said before, today we're going to be talking to Frank Casino, who's going to be telling us about his journey towards stardom and also what does it take, you know, to be a rapper at a high level. You know, the talent is one thing, writing good music is another, but I also think the people that surround you, the team that you have, is also important in that journey. So we're going to be talking to Frank a bit more about that. Who are his friends? Who are his business people? How do they work together and how do they keep the Frank Casino brand intact? But before we get there, I think I first want to go off script completely. As we all know, this past weekend, on Friday, Thursday and Friday, we saw what happened to Karabo, who was burnt and killed by her boyfriend. And I just want to say, guys, as you saw yesterday, I saw a lot of guys, you know, giving homage to their mothers, happy Mother's Day. But I was a bit sad because there's a father and a mother who don't have their daughter anymore. You know, as gents, South African men, we need to do better. We can't keep abusing our women. Our women have to be safe. It's actually scary looking at the statistics where every single second in South Africa, a woman is being raped, being killed, or being violated, and that needs to stop. So as gentlemen, guys, like your friends are the predators. We are the predators. As gents, we need to call out, you know, our guy friends. If our guy friends are calling women hoes, if our guy friends are describing their girlfriend as bitches, we need to stop that. You know, as guys, we have to stop being hypocrites. You know, rapists are not people that live on the outside. Rapists live amongst us. Rapists are our friends. You know, so we need to start having those honest conversations. If our women can't be safe around us, where can they be safe? So it's time that we take responsibility with that. As I said before, if you have any thoughts to share, please talk to us on WhatsApp and please engage with us on Twitter as well. And we want to hear all your feedback. And right after this, we're going to be speaking to Frank Casino. And before we get there, I'd like to play you guys a nice track by Frank Ocean called Crack Rock.
Crack, ooh. Crack Rock. Crack rock, how you feeling, girl? Ooh, how's the gutter doing?
Crack rock.
Hello, welcome to the Threaded Exchange. If you just tuned in, it's Siyabonga Beyile. And of course, I'm back at it to give you and tell you about our next guest today. His name is Frank Casino. The main reason I want to feature Frank Casino is not because he's some other rapper that I want to, you know, talk about his next single, but I want to talk about his story. This young guy has been in the scene since 2004, fighting for his songs to be played on radio. As you all know, you guys know the song Whole Thing featuring Ricky Rick. Do you know that the original song actually didn't feature Ricky Rick? And the song, even though it was really, really brilliant, as we all know, it struggled to get airplay on Trace. It struggled to get airplay on radio, your mainstream radio stations. And yet when he featured Ricky Rick and got that co-sign, the song blew up everywhere. So today I want to talk to Frank Casino, importantly, about that journey. But most of you guys So what is the story behind Frank Cassino? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, a bit about his bio, and then straight after play one of his old school tracks so you guys can actually see how far this guy has come from. Frank Cassino, his name is Nhlanhla Tshabalala, better known as Frank Cassino, was born and bred in the heart of Tembisa, Johannesburg. Though many would argue that this because of his creativity international sound, Frank Cassino is in fact a native of South Africa, with his musical history dating back to 2004. Having only discovered his ideal genre in high school, Frank and his friends formed a group and band under the name Crunk Era, which soon after got signed by an independent record label owner, Vusi Liu. The 5-year contract deal lasted long enough to see the group change their name to Blackprint. They began working with the likes of Amanushini, Mr. Salvin, TXL, to name a few industry veterans in the genre. In 2010, leading to the end of Blackprint's recording contract, Frank, Dells, and Parley started exploring the possibilities of building a strong and versatile band, when they later decided to record and release a project called Casino Royale, which featured former bandmates of Blackprint. In 2012, Frank went on to feature on Parley's first solo project titled Points to Prove, which led to them eventually proving that signing yourself is in fact the best way to grow as an artist, and also using online media such as SoundCloud would be the best way to push their genre of music. On the 7th of February 2015, Depper Gang Records launched officially, and Frank Cassino has since been releasing his music under the creative wing of the band. 27th of April marks the day Frank Cassino released his first official radio single titled The Whole Thing, to which he owes his steady growth of his following to date to the song, which has a sound that deviates from the conventional hip-hop and has been playlisted on multiple radio stations and counting, promising to be a successful debut single if the response it was refusing to go by, the Dapper Don, aka Frank Cassino, will be a force to be reckoned with. So that is the story of Frank Cassino. He's notified me that he's running 10 minutes late. So, but we're going to continue anyway without him. In studio, I've got my beautiful co-host who's been through the most this morning. I think we've both been through the most this morning. How's it going, Sim?
I actually don't even want to get into it because...
Do you know I was in a car accident this morning?
Life is just a lot.
Do you know I was in a car accident this morning?
Why are you here? What happened?
Dude, like, I went... First and foremost, like, I hate doing this, but like, I went to the bank this morning to get something sorted on the business account. They couldn't help me. I stood there for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
After standing there for 2 hours... my new Beat headphones got stolen, and no one in the bank knew where they were gone, but they got stolen.
In the bank?
In the bank. They got stolen. In the business.
Don't they have cameras in the bank?
In the business banking suite. Do you realize this is not even by the tellers? This is at the business banking suite. So that got stolen. And then straight after, I'm like getting in my Uber. I'm like, cool, I need to rush to Cliff Central to do my show. And then literally 2 blocks later, we crash into a taxi.
No
that had
ways.
Passengers inside. Can you imagine?
It was everyone fine.
Everyone is fine, but like the driver literally wanted to kill my Uber driver, so they were busy having a scuffle, guns were being taken out, then police were called. And then I simply just called another Uber and left because I was like, I have to make this show.
Yeah.
How are you? How's your morning?
I'm fine. I don't want to talk about it because it's honestly just like when other things don't work to make your things work. But anyways, I'm fine. I'm going to have a bitter Monday, so...
But I've seen, you said you've been on a cleanse now. How long have you been... So Sim is on a juice cleanse. Anyway, guys, if you don't know who Sim is the Chief Operations Officer of The Threaded Man. So her and I are partners in crime. So tell me, this juice thing, what is it about and how is it going?
So I'm trying to like detox and lose weight, right? So obviously not the smartest thing, trying to lose weight during winter, but here I am. So I got this brand, it's owned by a black woman, it's called Namala Juice. So I thought I'd try it out. It was the perfect timing, I'm trying to lose weight, and I thought like juicing would be a really good first step. So I've been doing it now for 4 days, I've cheated maybe 2 days, but it's going really well, I think. I'm feeling like a lot lighter, a lot happier about life. So I'm not sure if it's supposed to do that, but I am feeling a lot cleaner. So you should try it, guys. It's called Namala Juice.
Namala Juice. Okay, guys. Mm. So yeah, please send us, tweet us, WhatsApp us, 079-7480-748-2090. Tell us, have you tried juicing? Does it actually work? Because me, I'm a bit skeptical about it. I mean, I've tried it once and I was like, this thing of not eating and starving yourself.
It's not starving yourself. You're like putting like heavy fruits and vegetables and like key nutrients. Like the one that I'm having now has hemp protein, banana, almond milk. I think this is cacao.
But my thing is, why not you just eat fruit? Why does it have to be juiced for it
to be so much harder to eat fruit. Like, it's so much harder to eat five fruits in a day, whereas if, like, five fruits in a day are in one juice, that's so much easier. That's like, you kill it all at once, and you have your water as well.
You guys are being lazy.
I mean, I am lazy, I'm not going to lie.
The next thing I know, you guys are going to be want to be fed food through drips now.
Okay, seriously, that's a bit extreme.
That's where it's going.
But
that's where it's going.
I can see that happening.
And also, I'm seeing everyone with this Revive Me essay thing. What is that all about?
I think that's something to do with, like, cleaning your body or something. It's like a, what do you call this, an IV drip.
Guys, what happened to Brooke Legs? What happened to Brooke Legs?
I mean, where are you going to find Brooke Legs in today's... Where?
A pharmacy! Go buy a laxative and wash that crap out of your system. Why are you juicing intense things?
It's such a disgusting process that way.
Nah, come on.
It's just like you're having like a nice little juice or you're like on a drip.
Yeah.
And you're having
like
a
typical rapper, Frank Ocasio has walked in 20 minutes late, but we're going to forgive him.
He's here now.
So we're going to welcome him on the other side of this. This is actually my favorite song. I'm going to play Pablo. And in the song, he says dreaded man, but I was taken as threaded man. And I'm hinting that he should change that to threaded man. And he should actually say officially it is the threaded man. So we're going to be with Frank Ocasio on the other side of this. Pablo, Lamborghini, Jimmy Diablo. That is Frank Ocasio with Pablo. And we've got Frank Ocasio in studio. He's going to explain to us why he's late. So Frankie, why are you late?
Bro? Ish. Yeah, I had a hectic morning.
You had a hectic morning?
Yeah.
Well, what is it like suffering from success right now?
Well, I don't think it's that, you know? I don't think I'm like suffering from success yet.
But yeah. It's cool so far. They say one of the clear indicators of someone being successful is when they arrive late. Then you know that the person's successful.
Really?
Yeah. I remember once I was signed to a PR agency like last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, no, now that you're successful, you have to arrive late for events. I'm like, what does that mean now? They're like, you must arrive late for events, you must arrive late for interviews. It shows that you have shit to do. So, yeah, So I take it as you were showing me that, no, you're super mega now. You're going to arrive late, brother.
Nah. Well, I don't know that one. That's the first time hearing such a thing, but okay.
But, dude, how are you?
I'm good,
Is your life right now? How are you? And if you could describe your world right now and the success that you've been experiencing and the love that you've been getting and all these performances you've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Paint us a picture of your life right now.
Well, my life is just, most of it right now is just challenges that I've been trying to get through and just to like challenge myself as well, just as an artist. And I mean, like, as much as all the love, you may be getting all the love right now and all that stuff, you know, It's a fine line. You need to be careful of what you do and what decisions you make. And it's cool. Like I enjoy it, you know, for the most part of it, you know, I appreciate my team and it's just like work. Every day it's just like work. We're just doing our thing to become millionaires.
Yeah.
It's just like you.
Can I ask you something? I mean, I'm involved with rappers on different fronts, you know, from styling, creative direction, but I'm not in the rap game. I wouldn't say I'm in the rap game, you know, even if you're my friend, I'm not in the rap game. So how have you been able to keep, I wouldn't say clean, but how have you been able to stay focused within the rap game? Because as you know, there's a lot happening, you know, there's different squads. There's Ricky, there's Casper, there's all these different people with their squads, and a lot is happening, and there's beefs here and there, people not getting along here and there. How do you stay clear of that and just focus on the music?
Man, I just mind my own business. Like, I think it's key, you know, and I just always try to keep to myself and just respect everybody for their work, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I always try to do, you know.
Yeah. Because I remember I was with you in December and we were at Stay Fresh, right?
Stay Fresh.
And I still remember that time. I mean, I'd known you, but we hadn't known each other that well. But you were on my radio, and I was busy planning the threaded year, and I was like, okay, cool, this is someone I want to work with, but I want to suss them out in all these different spaces. And I remember, you know, you arrived at Stay Fresh, and it was so crazy to see. You just minded your own business. You just sat on the side. It wasn't about popping bottles and showing off. You were literally just composed, chilling with your mates. You're not even, I don't think you were even drinking at that point. And I even think Ricky called you to be like, yo, have some champagne and whatever. You were just like, nah, we chilled, we're good. And I really loved that, because most of the time I think, you know, not that I love the industry. I love Ricky. I love everybody in the game. Mm-hmm. But it's always refreshing to see a new act build their own. Mm-hmm. You know, I think most of the time when you see a new act in the industry, it's either they fall into the trap of being part of an entourage that mm-hmm. already exists. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I'm going to say is that, for example, Gemini Major is part of Deleuze's entourage. Mm-hmm. You built your own for mm-hmm. the kids. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? You built your own entire movement with Cutthroat mm-hmm. and it has its own following. You don't necessarily need anyone else in the game or to vibe with another entourage to mm-hmm. have people take you seriously. Mm-hmm. Was that a conscious decision to be like, yo, we're going to create our own vibes, our own way of doing things?
Well, for us, it's always been, I mean, even before Cutthroat, Cutthroat is just, they friends, you know, that's how the alliance is. So, for us, it's just always been like, we just want to do our own thing, you know,
yeah.
We just believed in, we have our own beliefs and stuff, and we don't want, anything coming into, the vision or clouding the vision, anything that can come into our way and cloud, like, the way we think or the way we see things,
yeah.
you know, and we always feel better amongst ourselves because we understand where we're trying to take it, you know,
yeah.
we don't want to be amongst people that think we think crazy.
Yeah.
You see, we want to think crazy. We want to think however we want to think. We want to take it to like the next level, you know, and
yeah.
we don't want that stuff to be up for debate.
Yeah.
That's why we just prefer keeping it amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me, what was it like growing in Tembisa and how did you find your genre of music? I mean, I look at you growing up from Tembisa and I listen to your sound and I'm like, fuck, this guy, he's from Tembisa, but the sound is super out there.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about that. Like, you know, how did music find you and what were your musical experiences growing up?
Well, for me, in Tembisa, I never really stayed much in Tembisa. I went on to live with my grandmother in the Free State, and then I went to Kempton Park. So when I got to Kempton Park, that's when I met Dals, who's my producer, at a very young age. We used to be gamers, you know, we used to just love games and stuff
yeah.
like that. And there was a friend of ours who used to give us PC games, right, like Boraz games and stuff like that. They were a bit, like, older. So the one time when we went to his place, he gave us Fruity Loops. This was before Fruity, like, was popping. I think it was, like, Fruity 1 or 2. One of the first few Fruities. So we got it, and we took it home. And then Dals started making, like, beats or whatever it is. I was just too much of a gamer. I was like, nah, man, you know.
So you were not a rapper at this point?
I never thought of rap.
You were just
nah.
a game. How old are you at this time?
I was probably, how old was I? Maybe, like, 12.
12?
Yeah,
cool.
Somewhere there. And then the one time he came back and he made a beat. It wasn't like so nice, you know. I was just like, okay, cool. Then I got the program as well and I started making beats, but it was a fun thing. And then there was a time where he made an actual like beat that could actually become a song, you know, and he had this speaker mic thingy. He had a speaker. He turned it into a mic. And then I remember in that same week, we were doing like school projects, like we were doing like nursery rhymes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we decided to come up with something in class or whatever it is. It was a task that we're given. And then we did it and people liked it. And then from then on, like, we like, okay, man, we just liked rhyming and rhyming. Plus we had this, I'll call him our older brother, Triple K. He used to rap, you know,
yeah.
and he'd always like preach rap stories or whatever to us and stuff. So he was a big influence, a big part of that. And then we made a song called Pimp Holiday. That was like our first song, you know, and that was cool. The experience was dope. So from then on was when I started realizing, okay, that maybe I can rap, you know, full time, or maybe I can actually just do this thing. But it was more of a hobby then. So, all right, cool. My dad also used to be a DJ. He also used to play like a lot of like hip hop stuff, but like the old stuff, maybe like your Sugar Hill Gang. And then the new stuff at that time would be like your Dr. Dre. And
yeah.
then going.
So, you were never. So, because most of the time, a lot of people think like to follow your dreams,
mm-hmm.
you need to be like 5 years old and singing. So,
mm-hmm.
you never really cared about music, you just cared about gaming. You know,
yeah.
So, because I'm sure there's kids out there who are listening who think, "Flip, I'm 15 years old. It's too late for me to rap."
Yeah.
You could say it's not.
Yeah.
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 And then Havoc, Future.
What's up?
By the way, guys, we've got Havoc here, aka the future of South Africa. You told me that you and Havoc, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about this interview is
mm-hmm.
the fact that most of the time the focus is always on the star,
mm.
right? Always on the talent.
Mm-hmm.
And you never realize that there's a whole team
behind
that makes sure that talent shines as bright as he can. And so
yeah.
part of this interview, I actually want to talk about your relationship with Havoc. Where did you meet this guy?
Well, I met him in high school. Like,
yeah.
We went to the same high school. I met him. It's funny.
Story. Tell me the story. Tell us the story. How did you meet him? And did he look like Future back then? Did he have like a
no.
I need a picture. I need a picture I can post of how Havoc used to look.
He was just always very tall and he had short hair, but I think he was kind of growing like dreads, but it was like the bongo dreads at the time, yeah, or whatever it was. Yeah. Something like that. And I think he really thought I was really cool, because the one weekend, it was like a school event or whatever it is, and then that weekend he spoiled us, man. And
you were balling.
Yeah.
Balling.
I've always been somebody that takes care of like people around me.
What were you balling with? Bubblegum? Did he give you a sweets, or did he give you those what is it, tassels? Pokemon tassels. What were you balling with?
We went to, it was a soccer event at another school that our school was partaking in. So we were there, and you know, I was with the boys. We had recently like formed our alliance and all that. Mm. So, man, we were out there. You know, people needed to eat, so I got everybody Nando's and all that stuff.
Man,
I took care of everybody.
How times have changed, guys. Like, there was a time where bowling for me was buying people sweets. Yeah. Now bowling is about buying 10,000 rand bottles of champagne. What happened, guys? I hate fucking adulting. I hate growing up. Now, like, used to buy a girl and a young chappies, and she'd be like, "Oh, this is so cute," and she would like date you from there. Like, can you be my girlfriend? Here's a chappies. Now it's like, can you be my girlfriend? Wear the khakis. You know what I'm saying? And even that, like, it's also niggas now. Niggas are being blessed now. So even niggas are asking girls, yo, want me to be your boyfriend? You gotta bless me with some. So growing up is really crazy. Now tell me about the gap between, so now you're in high school, you meet Havoc. Is music still, it's not, it sounds like it wasn't really a big focus or something that you were doing. But how did it grow from that point of being in high school to the whole thing?
Well, like in high school, I started taking it more seriously. In high school, we actually formed another group. Well, this is where we formed a group called Crunk Era. It was first Crunk Era, then it became Black Print.
Yeah.
And we got signed to a guy called Vusu Liu.
Yeah.
And then at that point, like, the music thing started getting serious. But it was more, we didn't have like control in terms of like the decisions, but we're too young to know. But otherwise, in that time, I gained so much experience, because I met like a lot of like the old heads at the time,
like
Mr. Salvin,
yeah,
Ammunition.
He's telling us not to have sex now. Did you see now recently the news? Mr. Salvin is telling us not to have sex now. And like, did you guys, what happened? What did you do to Mr. Salvin that you put him out of rap, Frank? He heard you rap and was like, actually, I'm gonna find God, I'm done. What happened?
I don't know what happened. I don't know, but yeah, he played a great part of like everything. And then, yeah, just in that time, you know, it was just like a learning experience for me. And I'd assume it was a learning experience for everybody else who was in the group. So after that, that's when I realized that, okay, I want to take this thing like seriously, you know. I'm going to make efforts to make it a serious thing, and I'm not going to wait for anyone, you know. I'm going to go start my own record label and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the main reason for starting the record label was just so we can submit music to radio and, you know, TV and so on.
Yeah.
So yeah, at that point, which was probably 2014, late 2014, I started taking it somewhat seriously. And then 2015, I committed to saying, okay, you know what, I'm gonna make music. But at the time, I had stopped, I've been working and stuff. I've been working, yeah. And yeah, I've been working. I'm thinking to myself, okay, what I need to do now is create a body of work, so I can actually become like a full-on rapper or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I didn't have like the equipment and stuff like that, but I had friends who had like access, you know, to studios and so on. So I decided, okay, cool, that was cool. I made a decision from that point. I was like, you know what, I need to get my own equipment and all that stuff. So I stopped for some time and I went and got a job and made some money.
What job did you do? What was Frankenstein? A male stripper? What were you doing? What is it? What is your job?
My jobs are boring. Well, first I tried retail. It didn't work. I like quit.
Yo,
like,
oh my dude, third I also day. Tried retail. I lasted an hour. Guys, there's something about like, I can serve people, but not at that level. I can serve people. I can be your slave through styling you, but not through serving you food. Yo, I suffered, guys.
Yeah.
So what's the funniest job you think you've done?
Courier. I was a courier. Like, I drove.
I drove and delivered packages
and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, word out, guys. If Frank Casino ever delivered you something, please do let us know. But what I'm trying to showcase, guys, we're laughing now. It's funny, but yeah, a lot of people are stuck in jobs they don't love.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, feel like us young, successful people, we just woke up and we were brilliant. We never actually worked hard for this because, mm-hmm, you know, social media makes it look like it's easy. You know, Frank, mm-hmm, just woke up and it was Frank Casino.
Yeah.
But you don't understand that there's a whole process towards that. And you had to go, you quit rap. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you took a hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
You went and you actually went to work. You were a courier. A, mm-hmm, courier.
Yeah.
Fuck. Guys, do you know I was a male stripper at some point?
Nah, don't lie, bro.
Seriously, I was called chocolate dropper.
Proof? Sims, is there proof of that?
Chocolate dropper.
I was called chocolate dropper. And I still consider it now. Like, if things don't work out for me, I'll be, guys, if things don't work out with Threaded Man, I'll be a male stripper. Apparently, you make good guap. It's the only thing I can think of that's like quick enough for me to make as much rack as I'm making now.
Uh-huh.
Because I know one session is 30K.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in a week, if 30K times 7, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? I can, yeah, still go to Cebu and still ball, and then pretend I'm not stripping, you know, make it look legit. But yeah. So, and then how did you come back? So you went out into the real world. You hated it, I presume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yo, I hated it. Yo, I hated it. I couldn't stand it. But for the most part was because like, I didn't have enough time to invest into like my craft. You know, I tried to do both, but it wasn't working out. One side of it would always lack. It's either the music, yeah, lacks or the work side lacks. So until I got to that point where I decided, okay, I need to make a decision.
Yeah.
Which was when I decided, okay, I'm going to make music full time, and all the money that I have made, I'm going to invest it in all the equipment I need to, yeah, produce all the material I need to produce. So I still needed a bit more money. So I sold my car as well. So, okay, cool. I'm going to sell this stuff to add
you
on.
You sold your car?
Yeah.
Wow.
So then,
but at this point, sorry guys, like at this point, because for me it's important to the listeners listen to this, especially young black kids want to be like you.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, you're selling all your things, investing into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, are you not having fears of, fuck, I'm investing all this money, it might not work out?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what is your family saying? What are your friends saying? Are they saying this is a good idea? Do you have any doubt that,
mm-hmm,
you know, I'm actually investing everything? I mean, when I started Threaded Man, dude, I took out loans, all these crazy stuff, mm-hmm, like being in debt.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else around me is like, oh, this thing might work, it might not work out.
Mm-hmm.
But I believed in it. So for you, did you have those fears?
There were too many memories in that car, though. That's one thing I got to mention. That's so, the sad part.
What are you doing in that car? But did you have those doubts?
Well, like, I was just so fueled by desire at the time. I wasn't having, like, any doubts. I just wanted to make it work. I just wanted to make it happen. So, like, the people around me in terms of, like, my friends, they were also, like, with me in terms of, like, the supportive structure and giving me the mentality or the strength to say, okay, man, you can do it, you know. But
yeah,
at home, it was they were a bit like in the middle, you know, like just unsure, more like, man, we worried, man, you know, what if it doesn't work out type of vibe, you know. But I was just like, I don't know, it has to work out, you see.
Yeah.
So but they did support me. They said, okay, do your thing, you know. And then I got that year off where I was just working on music full time and just working on making it happen. And yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Amazing. Then tell me, Havoc, you meet in high school, he's your friend. Mm. How does that relationship then progress into a professional relationship? And it being a professional relationship, do you guys fight?
Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah. We do fight. We do like stress points to one another, like, okay, we got to do things this way. Or we need to better things here and there. Or we need to stop this. So when I met, like, I've always known Havoc, you know. When this music thing started getting serious, or when I decided that I want to take this thing seriously, I just out of a group of my friends, I just analyzed them in terms of, like, their strengths, you know. And then that's when I realized, or I always knew that Havoc, you know, always has a way of speaking. He's well spoken, you know. He can speak to people, he can make things happen, he can think for himself, or he can think in a tight situation. So that's when I decided, you know, to speak to him and ask him, would he be keen to actually do this, like, on a serious level, you know. Because I did have people. I did have a guy who I was working with before that, you know. He was still working and stuff like that, but I don't know. Like, I also believe that he has the same, like, attributes and stuff like that, but I don't know if he wanted to take it seriously or if he believed in himself, firstly, you know, the same way in terms of, like, being a manager and doing that type of stuff. I don't know if he believed this thing could go to the next level, you know.
Yeah.
And at the time, there was no time to waste time. You see, so I was like, okay, you know what? Anyway, I've always known Havoc longer, you know. My worry was always like, I don't know if how we're gonna work around the friendship, like.
Yeah, because I mean, when you have friendship and when money's involved, now fame is involved, goals are involved. There's a lot of things involved in this hip hop scene.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, how do you guys always bring it back to that? Because the foundation of you guys working together is that friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no matter what happens, how do you still maintain that? Hey, my boy, we fucked up here. Hey, let's do better. How do you keep that kind of relationship going? Let's hear from you, Havoc.
I think it's mutual respect. You know, we're always able to. There's transparency the whole time. So whenever we get checked, for example, so if I do something wrong and he approaches me, I never take it in a very personal manner, you know. I always listen, hear what he's saying, and we do debate about it, you know. I don't just take what he says, you know. And there are times when we do have fallouts, like a serious fallout, but it won't take longer than 15 minutes for us to clear the air. Because one thing that we share and we all understand is progression, you know. We can fight, but we all know where we're trying to get to, you know. So we always have to come back to the table, correct it, and then try to find a way to move forward, you know. So that's what has kept us going. And that's the thing we share in our team in its entirety, you know. We always fight. We always disagree, you know. A lot of people look at us and our tight friendship or how close we are. They always think things are a gravy train the whole time, you know.
Yeah.
There are times where things go up and down, but we always just find a way to bring it back, like, home and find a way to progress.
Yeah. How would you... I mean, you've been riding with Frank for a very long time.
Yeah.
How did you... Did you have that moment, or when did you get that moment where you're like, Aish, my friend is actually very talented. I actually believe in him. You know, when did that... Because, I mean, for you to become his manager and whatever you want to call you, I feel like you're everything.
Security,
PR consultant. So when were you like, okay, cool, I really believe in this guy and I really want to go on this journey? Because at the end of the day, is that I'm sure you never saw your life progressing like this, you know? And so in a sense, you sort of... Your goals and your aspirations are now invested in the Frank Casino brand.
Yeah.
So how did that mental shift happen for you?
Well, I've always known, like you said, when we're in high school, he's always been making music and all that. But there was a time that he took a break from it, you know, and then he came back, you know. When he came back, that's like he stated earlier, that's when he started to figure things out, decide that he's going to be serious about this whole thing. And then when he recently decided to form a team around him, that's when... We saw that as in a vision, in the sense of where we're all trying to get to in our lives, like just individually, you know. This makes sense, you know. I've always, like I said, I've always known that he was talented, but the determination that he showed when we started formulating the team, that's when I knew that actually this is something that even as a friend I should be dedicating my time and my efforts to this thing, you know.
Yeah.
To a point where at that time I was working. And I even quit my job and I was like, you know what?
We actually what were you doing as a job?
I was working in sales. I was a brand builder, a sales rep for a distribution company. Yeah. So it was a pretty good job, but I was like, I can't do this, you know? I felt that at that time, my efforts weren't being like fully utilized where I was. And I thought that everything that I could do and the faith that he showed in me that, dude, you can actually do this, gave me the courage to actually decide that, you know what, let me put everything that I have behind this particular thing. And I'll tell you now, that actually that decision, it liberated me, you know. It made me also take out attributes that I didn't know I actually had in me, which he saw, which is another thing that Frank actually possesses. He's able to see things in people that they don't even know about themselves and bring it out of them, you know.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, when I decided that, it was like, let's move, you know. We've always been people who don't waste time with things. So when he started, like, having that those discussions with us, you know, I could already see where he was trying to take it. And he needed my support. And as a friend, I was there when he needed me.
Yeah. And I think for me is that since I want to show, that's another thing I want to show. If you look at all the successful South African musicians right now, and I'm talking the top ones, like your Black Coffees, even outside of music, you look at your Somizis, you look at your Tiras, all these like guys have been around forever. what I've always found from experience is that behind them, there's that one best friend who's been riding with them forever. Black Coffee's got Amaru. You know, Amaru runs everything Black Coffee. And I think that's sort of the formula it is. You look at guys like P. Diddy, your Jay-Z's, they've got that one best friend that runs everything for them. And I think, you know, for half the time, when you see artists go on drugs, falling off, being broke, and all this crazy shit that happens, when you start to investigate their team, you start to realize that none of those people were their best friends, or there was no thing such as a friend. I'm able to run the Threadman so well because I've got Sim. I've known Sim since I was like 15. You know, so I think that's another thing, guys. If you're out there, you're an artist, it's not about you thriving alone. Find someone that you can trust to work with you. And I think you guys exemplify that very well. One of my last questions, excuse me, that I want to ask is, you're now working with this guy, the fame happens. There's drugs in the industry, we know that. There's the money now, you can look fresh. The girls are coming, you know. A lot of things is coming at once. How do you keep guys each other in check? Because I know from my experience, I mean, the first time I experienced some sort of level of fame, it does consume you a little bit. It's like, oh, people care about what I have to say. Let me flex a young little bit, you know. Yeah. And sometimes it can create a distance between you and the person that you're working with. So sometimes I always, like last year, felt that I was distant from Sim because I got caught up in that space and I had to bring myself back. So how do you guys keep that check in by, okay, let's wild out for the night, but ish, tomorrow it's back to work, you know, in a sense that it usually starts as a ripple effect, especially young artists, see it all the time. Person's always early for interviews, they're always done for performances. Next thing, they're late for performances, the interviews start disappearing, then they're always tired, and then the next thing, they just fade out. So how do you make sure that this guy is always intact, and how do you make sure that he's always intact?
Well, one thing I will say, we've been students of the game for a very long time. A lot of the stuff that we're around now, we've been around for a very long time, you know?
Yeah.
So some of the things that happen are things we used to see. And when we used to see them back then, we suffer for something called analysis paralysis. So we'd go out when we're still young and we'd see certain things and we'd be like, whenever we get there, you know, that's certainly something we're not going to do, you know.
Yeah.
So when the time came, it was very easy for us to maneuver, you know. I won't lie, you know, I won't give us the most credit and say, you know, we had it all under control. When it, in the beginning...
Guys, I've also been lost in the sauce.
It was crazy.
Some nights you're like, yo, this mummy is dialing me. I'm going to do the most. Sometimes you're like, let me go to the club and let's pop bottles.
Yeah.
Some were smoking cigars at Taboo last year, doing the actual most.
Look, you have to... Certain things you have to do, you know, because sometimes... You have to we become too serious on ourselves and we forget to reward ourselves, you know. So we had that moment, you know, where we're like, man, we worked so hard for this, you know, we need to celebrate, and we did, you know. It took like a trip, I think, to Cape Town for us to realize, okay, you know, we did everything that we could possibly do, you know. Now we need to get our heads back into the game, you know, because we did get like lost in everything, as much as people thought that we're keeping a level head and all that, you know. But if we're honest to ourselves, we did like get lost in the sauce. But we brought it back to each other. But it goes back to the point that I initially mentioned, we're able to check ourselves, because after every single thing that we do, we always have like a reflective conversation about it. So even right now, when I leave now with him, I know we're going to be driving and we're going to speak, how's the interview and all that, you know. So after every experience, that has always happened. So it got to a point where we're like, all right, boys, this is becoming too much now, you know. This is, we're going into a lane that is not destined for us. This is not us. You know, we need to bring it close.
And what I enjoy the most right now is that we live in such an exciting time. I have to wrap up the show in the next 3 minutes. But I think we live in such an exciting time in a sense that, you know, I run my own thing, my own company. You guys run the Frank Casino brand, etc. And what's also that I find that is cool is sort of the alliance that we have built as well, where I'm also able to call Frank, be like, yo, my nigga, like, this is not it. And I think for me, I like to call it the Jewish mentality, where for a long time as black people, we never want to see each other succeed. So I'm really excited whereby, you know, as people in different industries, I'm in fashion, you're music, we're also able to support each other and build that thing. And sometimes people look at the Threaded Man and be like, yo, Sia's making shit happen. But I'm like, yeah, it's because I've got support from Frank. I also support Frank when he appears on stage. I want to make sure that he looks good. So I'm very excited about that. Wrapping up, before I get into trouble, what advice do you guys have for kids out there that want to make music? They're not being played on radio, they feel like they're not good enough. What do you have to say to them?
Well, for me, it's simple. Make the music and put it out, like put it out online. That's merely what I do.
Havoc, from your side, advice?
Always take yourself seriously. Don't let anybody else like doubt you, whatever you think, do it and put the most amount of passion and effort into it, and then you'll figure it out at the end.
Yeah. And guys, all I'm going to say is, if you dream of something, it's not by mistake. It's because you're destined for it. Mm-hmm. No matter how tough it gets, don't stop believing in yourself. Make it happen. Put yourself on. Use SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. Nag Frank Cassino on Twitter. Be like, listen to my song. Nag Havoc on Twitter. Be like, Havoc, you need to listen to my song. I'm going to play out now with a song by Frank Cassino called I Don't Want to Talk. And Frank is yet to tell me when he's going to mention the Threaded Man on the track. But hey, we are out. This is a Threaded Exchange.
You got to talk chess for that one. How much are you willing to pay, bro?
This is a Threaded Exchange with CRB. Until next time.
One time.
Superstar, what the fuck have you created? CliffCentral.com.